Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. B. Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with B. Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs, but if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and... It's 1 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's time now for Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Cleary. Be happy, be healthy, be complete in body, mind, spirit. Claudia's advice is always uplifting and inspirational. Get joyfully motivated every week with Namaste Nutrition. And now, here's Claudia.
Good afternoon. This is Claudia Cleary,
Welcome to Namaste Nutrition. It is so wonderful to be here with all of you this afternoon. Thank you so much for those of you who are taking time out of your busy schedules to listen to us all live today. I really appreciate having you here. And I just wanted to let those of you know that if you would like to call into the show because you have a nutritional, burning nutritional question about anything that is of interest to you, especially anything pertaining to food or supplements or what to eat or where to eat it or unusual foods, please contact me. You can call into the show at 347-237-5339, and you are welcome to ask a question of either me or of my guests during the course of the show, if you would like. You can also email me at claudia.cleary@yahoo.com. It would be really awesome to hear from some of you out there. So when you do call in, please make sure that you push 1 after you are into the system, and then that will put you in the queue for being brought on live to the show. And if you just would like to call in and listen, you're more than welcome to do that. If you can't listen through your computer on a given day, we still would love to have you in here. So let's get on with our show today. I have a very special guest. Her name is Chef Ceci. She is the food alchemist. And she is doing a whole variety of different things from what I can tell. Chef Ceci, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you doing?
I am well. It is so marvelous to have you here. I'm also, too, from Philadelphia, so I'm a native Philadelphia girl myself. It's so nice to see another one on the show with me today.
Okay. What part of Philadelphia are you from?
I grew up in and around Germantown, Mount Airy, let me see, Elkins Park, and where else did I grow up? Around New Hope, Pennsylvania. But pretty much we moved every couple of years, so I lived in a variety of different areas there. What about you? Where are you from in Philadelphia?
I was born at Roxburgh Memorial Hospital. I lived in Manayunk mm-hmm. majority of my life. My mom lived in Mount Airy, Chestnut Hill.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I moved myself to Bushkill, Pennsylvania after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been
mm-hmm.
around. I saw a family in King of Prussia. And so my family's still in Philadelphia. I am the only one. Now I'm in Hawaii.
You're in Hawaii now, the Big Island.
Yes, the Big Island. It's like, oh, wow, it's early for me. It's 8 o'clock
it's
in the morning
early.
Now.
Oh, well, I've had other people on my show from Hawaii, too, and I'll definitely let you know about that at a later time. But
okay.
I just want to talk mainly about you and like, what you are doing. What brought you into food alchemy? Obviously, you have a very interesting history. You studied at a chef. You studied as a chef, and then you went on from there. Talk a little bit about what sent you down the road to become a chef, and what sent you away from being a standard American chef towards more holistic approaches.
Okay. I was a nurse. I worked for a nurse for about 10 years. And
okay.
And that brought on by my daughter, who was diagnosed with end-stage renal failure. So I had to always think of different meals for all these different diets because her body was, she was a diabetic, she was this. They were playing with a lot of medications, and it was causing a lot of different ailments, side effects. So I had to come up with all these meals. So it was kind of
mm-hmm.
frustrating. So, and then I didn't really like the traditional allopathic field and how they treated stuff because they didn't listen to people. And I got sick. Me being a nurse and working on a surgery floor is not good. So
mm-hmm.
I said, what do I like more than anything, no matter how sad, no matter how bad, what do I like to do? And it was like, you love to cook no matter what. I've always had people at my house. So I said,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, what can you do? So I signed up for the Culinary Institute of America in upstate New York. And they said, you know what, Cecily, you're 30, you know, you're too old, you're not going to get in. I packed my stuff, moved my kids to New York, and eventually got in. It took me about 1 month to get in, but I already knew I was getting in. So that led me to believe other things about myself, that if I can do this, I can do anything. So then I started exploring the traditional routes. And by then, I had already studied to be a santera. Do you know what a santera is?
No. Talk a little bit about that, please. Talk to the workers.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one.
A santera is someone that says what we call study santeria, a santera priestess. So I had studied how to be a priestess that studied what we call Yoruba tradition that was passed through Cuba. And it comes through Cuba in that way, and it's the study of the saints, they call it. Like you have Mary and Anne and Jesus and Lazarus. So you study them in all the energies, these deities, we can call them, have. So because they're on American soil, they're considered undercover saints. But when you go back to Yoruba tradition, they're deities of the weather. Like Yemaya is the ocean. Oshun, they call her, is the river. Hospitals, old Batala. So anything of any ailment of your body and of your spiritual, there's a deity for it in Yoruba. So I had been studying Yoruba or Palo before that. So that is a form of another, what we say, another tradition of deities and what I call earthly magic or earthly things or metaphysical. So it was the hardcore. So I started off as Palo Santera and been working with magic and oils and studying oils since I was about 9 years old. I've been studying Dr. Kloss in the book. So it got to say, well, what can you do with this to help people? So I started learning to make baths that heals people with herbs. Then I started to make oils. And then I learned to make candles that people say, well, can you make candles? Well, I took my candles to a whole different thing of making candles with different, what I call symbols that represents what we want in the universe. Because the universe has a code, and different people know how to tap into that code. So I decided to do that, make my candles infused with different herbs, but also to put in, like I said, the seals, I call the code, in there so when you burn them that the universe answers back. And then when you burn the candle, we'll talk about each layer. If the candle is black, reading the glass. So I'm also a candle reader. So I just started developing these different things, and then I started getting very sensitive about people and their body needs at that time, where their body was lacking iron, where their body was lacking this, or seeing just a certain cloud around people.
Mm-hmm.
As you would it, like a aura. So that's when I said, okay, well, must be a gift because I was born with the gift as a kid of seeing death. Or what people say, the people that were going to die would come to me in my dream as a kid. And
And
it freaked a lot of people out. I was labeled a witch at the age of 9, and my family and Maniunk at the time were not very gracious, and I did not understand that it was a gift. I didn't understand that it was a gift until later on, maybe in my 30s, understanding exactly, because I would get more enhancement. The more I got in these different religions, like I've been Buddhist, I've been, I studied with Mormons, so I studied Mormonology. I've been with some Jehovah's Witnesses and study some of the Quran. I didn't go into religion because of my own dogma. but I study so many things like Zen Buddhist and Nichiren Daishonin Buddhism, which basically stuck with me, that I learned that the power of words, meaning together, have an energy that opens the universe for me. So I like that. So then I met, I studied Kabbalah for a while, and then I met my ex, and I started doing a little Kabbalah with him and telling him I really don't want to be in the Kabbalah religion itself, but it opened me up to a lot more. And with him, I got to experiment a lot more, a lot of my gifts, of looking at him and telling him and putting him on the right diet for 3 months where he was able to lose weight, come off a diabetic medication, and actually be a little bit nicer when we were together. And that was by foods, oils, baths, candles, and the energy that we exchange in different things. Which I said, if I can do that for him, let's see who else he can do. And the thing is, if you believe it, it'll work. But if you don't, it's not going to work because you're fighting against a wall. And that's what I believe. But if you're open to receive, you will receive. And a lot of people are open, and a lot of people like to challenge me. You know, I was one of those people. I would go to a reader and go, read me. And not realizing you can shut everything down and block it. And it was like, wow. But you got to also be willing to trust this person because you are opening your aura to them to read you.
Right.
And that is a delicate issue. So I'm kind of even skeptical the more I learn about giving out my birth date, because you're also giving people an impasse about your life and who you are and some secret of your code, especially when you give the time and date of your birth. So
yeah.
I'm really getting into really knowing who I am since I've been to Hawaii. I've been opened up a lot. I mean, I see a lot more things, a lot more openings, and I was trying to figure out, like, who the heck am I? I can make oils. I use crystals. I do oil massage. I know the herbs people need. I know the tinctures they need. I know what's going on in life, and I can prescribe a diet for them. I can make detoxings. I make soap for people. Who am I? What am I here? What am I doing here? Because what I do, there is no label for what I do. So I came up, you know, the food alchemist came up before I even knew what it was or who I was. So so I said, okay, I'll be Ceci the food alchemist. Now, let's see how this play out. Well, that's what you have. So I'm living up to my name, using all the elements and elementals. And galactic, if you want, all into one for helping people. Whether I've helped people from Dr. Lodi, cancer, Happy Oasis in Mesa, Arizona. He deals with cancer, and he does it in an alternative manner. And he puts them on a certain diet. And they do get chemo, but they do also alternative things. Well, I cook for some of these clients. How they found me, being from California and me living in Arizona, I don't know. But they found me, and it was like, okay, I'm going to do my thing. And I cook for this gentleman, very high-end, and made his meals every single day. And they were vegan, and then they were also vegan raw, and I started to do the herbs on him because he was smoking California medical marijuana at the time. And I had no clue about medical marijuana and what it did. And he would get what he called the munchies. And I was like, okay. So that mean I made more meals. And he would only do it, I learned, only after I came over and knew I was cooking. So I was doing more cooking.
So he He planned his treatments around your cooking.
Right. So I was like, okay. And then he started explaining to me how he can help me. Because it became that, I don't know, you know, like when you like something so much, I told him, I said, you're just exchanging one addiction for another. And this is just my belief. You have cancer and you have anger. And cancer comes from unresolved anger in your life early on as a child. That's built up a plaque in your body. And it all depends on where it is. I'll sit and I'll talk to people how and why. If it's in your liver, if it's in your pancreas. These are different spots. And your pancreas, my belief, that you're not getting enough sweets in your life and you were treated very bitter as a child. Okay? So that sits there in that region, and it starts building up. And if you don't resolve it, meaning getting over it, and I don't mean, oh, it's okay. No, it's still sitting there. I mean, really resolve the issue. It builds up over time. Because every time something that is not sweet in your life, you take it back to the pancreas. okay? Mm-hmm. And same thing with your liver. Your liver basically, to me, is a, usually 9 out of 10 is a female in your life, being someone close, a grandmother or a mother, issue that you have not resolved, and it sits there, and you have a lot of anger at the beginning of your life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I look at people and I start diagnosing, and that came in after looking at him and showing him how to release it, but he was so bitter. Mm-hmm. Number one, he was not from America. He was a self-made millionaire, and when he came to America, he had a lot of bodybuilding things, and he wanted to know, he was 53 years old, he looked good, he had, you know, he had the American dream, had the hottie-totty girlfriend with blonde hair, blue eyes, beautiful car, and had all these things. And he said, why am I stricken with cancer? And I was around him enough, and I said, because you got a lot of anger inside of you. Well, that didn't sit too well, because here I am, this short little black woman, telling him, now mind you, I am not your size 2 black woman, okay? And I am about, I'm only 5'3", and I'm going to say I'm about 160 pounds. So I am overweight in that aspect of things. But I had my own issues, my own mommy issues that I was not dealing with, and I was hiding from the world because I was always a petite, buxom female. So I didn't get that until later on what my own issues were. I'm good at diagnosing other people, but Hawaii made me, like, really tap into my own issues as well. But with him, I got to see, and I started talking to him. I said, you know what? I became like a therapist then. And then I started doing crystal treatments on him. And then I started doing other things. But like I said, if you don't want help, you're not going to get it. Or if you're demeaning to another person, demeaning meaning my services are $65 an hour for me to come. And then after it's all said and done, when time to pay up, you don't pay and just say $50 and I exchange and barter. I can help you lose weight. That's not the agreement. So I learned from there a beautiful lesson. Always have people sign contracts and always get retainers. It was a costly lesson, but I learned. And I had to learn my wealth because I value myself. So how was anybody else going to value me? So So it was a lesson. It was a bad pill to swallow, but it was also a wonderful lesson for me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't work with this gentleman again after that. But I got to learn later on everybody at that alternative clinic did not like him. He had a very nasty disposition, and he loved to be in control. So he packed his stuff up and went back to California. And unfortunately, I don't know if he's alive or not. I never checked, but I know he didn't listen. And that's the one thing. He did not follow treatment. He would do other things outside the treatment. So it was kind of...
With regards to treatment, wouldn't you agree that if you end up coaching with someone, say you are a listener, okay, who's listening to the show right now, and they contact you, Jesse, and they say, I would like to work with you. Wouldn't you agree that they will only end up manifesting what they want for their life based on how much they're willing to put into the efforts that you suggest that they do?
Yes. Yes, 100%. 100%. If you put in 100%, or what I like to say, the all in all, because you go beyond that. If you put all in all, your treatment is going to be phenomenal. If you just put in a 10% effort, you're going to see a 10% return, you know.
Exactly.
You're not going to get the full gamut. You have to sit there, set your mind. First of all, meditate and find out. Not everybody's for everyone. It might be that I know that in certain people, my gift is also to bring out what most people despise about themselves or another person, like prejudice. I've been known. You know, they were like, oh, you know, it's about a black thing. No, unfortunately, I can't say that. My father's Sicilian. My mom's African-American. That's out the box. I used to be militant black, don't get me wrong, but my dad said every time you just play that militant black role in your life, you deny me and you're no-no who you love with all your heart. you can't afford to do that, there is a reason why God created you in the way that you were, and why mm-hmm. your mom is black and your dad is Sicilian. There's a reason. Accept it. Get over it. Don't do that militant stuff. Accept who you are. It took me years to accept that, but I love my Nona. I love my dad. I love him very much. But it took me a while to accept, you know, because the world was so prejudiced. But I really didn't understand what I was doing until I got older, because I never experienced, like, the names that people are called. Never in Roxborough, Manyunk, will you hear a word like that, or I heard that in my life. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody in Roxborough, Manyunk.
Right.
They know my great-grandmother. They know my Nona. They know not to mess with the D'Angelo, especially if I say... You know, they know Maria is my grandmother. She has a temper beyond all. Now, my Nona was only 4'11". And you would think, oh, no, no, but she's the typical Sicilian woman, short and round. But an attitude that even the police, if they know they have to say something to her, they're scared of her in Philadelphia. That is, and that's what I grew up with, that kind of matriarch kind of woman in charge. So... I'm used to that on that side of being in charge. Mm-hmm. My dad, who was 6'2 and 200 and something pounds, was scared of my little Nona. That was like cool as all get out. Could you imagine? So to me, that is kind of like intriguing. That's who I want to be. That's in essence who I was. And my Nona had a word for me as I got older. And she called me what they call in Sicily is a straga. And she said, you would be revered in my village in Sicily for your gifts that you have. And she said, you would be revered. Because I told her about my dreams that I had a little bit later on about death and how people come to me. And she was like, wow. You would be revered. You would be celebrated. You would be a rich woman considering our village. You would want for nothing. But here, it was very demeaning. So I really didn't come into my full understanding. Now, my Nona was not a straga, but she knew about herbs. She knew about plants. So I got that honestly from her. And how to barter, which is very good. I got to go to Rome and barter like nobody's business.
Oh, I'm sure you had a wonderful time there. Do you speak Italian?
I used to a long time ago, but I haven't had my Nona's dad has mm-hmm. passed, rest her soul, and so has my father. My father passed in 2007, so I had no reason to do it because I wasn't in anything, but my friend said if I go back and learn, it'll come back easily. So some of the words are somewhat... are similar to Spanish, and I have
mm-hmm.
a love for Spanish, so she said
sure.
to go back and learn, and I have a belief, because it's been coming up a lot, so I'm believing that I need to go back and polish up. Either I'm going on a trip to Italy, or I'm going to be introduced to somebody in Italian, and I'm going to need to really be able to speak it very well, so I don't know.
Not necessarily. Yeah, that would not necessarily be a bad thing.
Like that. So that's, you know, that's kind of like my background, why I am not like, you know, being the angry black woman. And I have a lot of friends that are the epitome of the angry black woman that blames everything on everybody and not think that this is their course in life and stop thinking. And I had a couple friends not speak to me when I found out my dad was Sicilian. I mean, literally. And it was like, are you serious? She said, but you don't look like you're anything. And I said, wow.
Well,
she said,
you know, it's one of those uh-huh. things where we all have to come to a place of acceptance of ourselves. And if other people choose not to accept who we are and what we are, because, you know, you really, in one sense, and I'm not talking about this from a metaphysical sense, but I'm talking about this from the basic Western belief. We don't necessarily
right.
have as much of a choice about the color of our skin. We just choose the
mm-hmm.
circumstances to which we are to be raised. And if it means that part of our journey is to be faced with being biracial, you know, then that's something that we have to deal with. I mean, I was taught from a very young age. I grew up in Mount Airy, and it was a very integrated neighborhood. There were blacks and whites living next door to each other. It wasn't considered a big deal. In most communities across the country, that is a huge deal. But in Mount Airy and Philadelphia, and you and I are right around the same age, that was not a big deal there. I played with kids from I was raised to be colorblind.
There you
go. So, yeah, well, it's just one of those things. But I want to go back to something that you had said earlier. You were talking about one of your children who had end-stage renal failure.
Uh-huh.
What was the outcome from you cooking for that child, and what ended up happening as a result?
She's 21. Every year, as she got older, my baby went from being the cute little chunky little girl to a very overweight little girl from following their medications and everything.
Poor baby. Hey, we're losing you, Ceci.
No.
Hey, Ceci, we're losing you.
Hello, hold on.
You are.
Okay, you got me back?
Yeah, okay, so I didn't
hear
anything aside from, I can hear you just fine now. We just heard that you had your daughter pretty much had some weight issues because of the medication that she was taking when she was younger. So you said she's 21 now. What's going on with
her
at this point?
She's on dialysis. She's one of those people that if you don't listen, she used to believe that everything they say was right. I've been arrested for giving my daughter home treatment. I went back and forth to court. I had my daughter taken away and locked in a hospital for a doctor to perform a surgery on my daughter against my wishes in upstate New York. No, New Jersey, sorry. South Jersey, matter of fact, in Bloomfield, New Jersey. They locked her in a hospital in Hackensack, New Jersey, and performed a surgery on her that almost cost my daughter her life. But the judge didn't see it that way because the doctor said I was neglectful and all that other stuff. They almost killed my child on several occasions doing these different treatments. And me fighting and not having a doctor degree and not having the support of anyone behind me, I was looked at, you know, she's middle class, she doesn't make this. At the time, I was going to the Culinary Institute at the same time. I'm a single mom of two kids, and I lived in Bloomfield. How that can work, they didn't trust me. So what I had to do is get out all my big guns, get myself really educated and versed back in the medical field, talk to some doctors that know me for years, and they performed the surgery. My daughter went home, and basically I let them do what they had to do because every time I tried, I always got I was always in trouble with the child protective people. Right up until I left to Arizona, even in 2007, they told me I could not move my daughter. So my daughter's 21, but they always said my daughter would not make it past the age 5. So birthdays and special holidays were always special to me. But my daughter is not diabetic. Okay. I did stuff undercoverly, but I didn't say anything to my daughter because my daughter figured they know what they're talking about. That came from that belief. My mom's like, oh, doctors know what they're talking about. No, they don't. My daughter's 21, and she's like, Mom, if it hadn't have been for you, most people die. And she's just looking at that 21, so I never told her all the treatments, all the herbs, all the stuff that I did for her. She's 21. She's on dialysis 3 times a week. She's had a kidney transplant. It did not take. And
so
it
bad.
Failed. It almost killed her. So right now we're looking at what else is there for her to do. There's a lot of stuff, but unfortunately the treatment that I know of will help her now is being in an oxygen chamber. And an oxygen chamber basically goes into your blood and starts circulating and putting all the blood cells back and start making them work. And to be a specialist like that is $450 for consultation. To be in the machine is $250 per hour. You need to be in there the first time, minimum hours is 3 hours. Unless you can be like Michael Jackson and sleep in, you know, sleep in that kind of atmosphere. But it costs money to sleep in that kind of thing, but it starts repairing your organs. So there's treatment out there, but there are not available to the public. And that's, it's sad. It's not available to the public. It's really not available to us if you don't have the funds. So it's nice that they're there, but if you can't afford that, what do? You find alternative means. Well, my daughter is losing weight because she's actually listening to everything I said within the last 2 years. She used to be 250 pounds and only 4'11". So she was quite a big girl. Her hair fell out. My daughters went bald listening to all and taking all the stuff they'd given her. So now her hair is not falling out. My daughter, matter of fact, my daughter does fairy readings. So she's starting to listen to a lot of stuff I'm saying, and I'm training her in a way to do is like, these are the foods you make. This is how you make it. My biggest struggle with my daughter is she loves to eat cheese. That's a no-no for her.
Not when
her
you
diet.
Have kidney issues, no, not a good idea.
Right.
It's too stressful.
Right. So we fight about that because, on the other hand, I want to do what I want to do, and I think I know what I want to know, and she wants to eat chocolate, and that's another no-no. So we have some battles here, but also I remember she is 21. I have to let her walk her truth. My truth is different than hers, but I don't, that's my baby. You don't want to see them suffer. So I try to back it up by, look, we're going to do some colon cleansers. We're going to do some detoxing. I'm going to put you in Qigong. I want you to go to physical therapy. I want you to see this so we can look at the blood work. So what I'm seeing before me is not driving me crazy because I can see what's going on in her body before they get to it, and she'll go, Mom, you're all right. I don't like that knowing that I'm right, and I can diagnose her when, and she goes to the doctor, and I tell her exactly what I've been saying for weeks. And she'll tell me, well, Mom, you're all right. And it burns her up. How does she know? And she went on a trip to Hawaii in Pahoa, and I let her go. I didn't know exactly when she pulled up. And I said, they were not supposed to come back until Sunday at 9:49. I said, she's going to be pulling up in 1 minute. My daughter hadn't phoned me, and I called her as soon as she got into the Pahoa, the other side of the island. And then her girlfriend said, how did your mother know that we were here and we were lost? She said, she's just like that. And when she pulled in, I was like, and she was like, Mom, how did you know? And she was like, my mom is just like that. You just certain things you just say, uh-huh, about. Because my mom knows. I looked at her girlfriend. Her girlfriend is pregnant with her second baby. And I started getting a read, and I was like, okay, I remember what my Nona said. Do not, when this starts coming, you have to ask people permission before you do it.
Right.
Because you're invading your privacy, and you're not meaning to, because it's like, I can do this. I can help them. And she said, oh, sure, I would like you to be my doula. So I'm a trained doula, too, to help women bring birth. So she had a friend, and she started telling me about his issues that she wanted me to help him. Right away, not knowing this person, never met this person, I gave her a read, boom, 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 and told her. And she's like, how the heck did you know? I don't know. I'm just the universe, as I say, goddess and God has been very good to me. Of my gifts and how to help people. Certain colors I help people with. Certain colors they can wear. Certain herbs they can use. Certain oils they can use. Certain crystals. I'll tell them what they need. And I used to do a lot of readings like that, telling people what they need for their body to get their body adjusted. And come to think, you know what? This is why I'm here in Hawaii, to define that. To make it even crystal clear, to put them on a diet for a while, to come into a community that's going to accept everything that I have and flourish from it. So that's my goal anyway. to come into a community. So I wanted to move to New Zealand, have my own island, and have people come and me be able to do all the things that I do with the herbs, the oils, the crystals, and what I call sacred geometry shapes and coatings to help them heal. Because I sleep under a pyramid basically every night and use that energy as well. You know anything about that?
A little bit about pyramids. I know that they channel energy and direct it right into where you need it the most.
Right. I work with them, and then I have different crystals that I use that actually removes the radicals from your foods that are not good for your body and their shapes. So I started getting into working with stones and crystals for that matter to actually help the food. And that drew me to the pyramids. Always loved pyramids. Never knew why. Always had a little. I have a rose quartz pyramid, and then I have a peridot pyramid. Mm-hmm. So, and then I sleep under one. And then I went to church in Arizona, and it's called Logo Center, and they have a great, big, beautiful, huge pyramid that you can actually sit under. In the building.
Nice.
It is beautiful. And it's crystals at each entrance. And you listen to music, and you actually, and they have Multivite. That's the first time I've been exposed to Multivite. And I had an outer body experience. So she's still my reverend, even though I'm not there in Arizona. And we talked, and she's a psychic, and so is her husband. Her husband worked in Russia in 1970 when they were doing the psychic reveal in 1970 on TV with the Russians,
mm-hmm.
when the wall
yeah.
came down or something. He was one of the psychologists that went there to study about psychic beings. He studied under the teachings of Edgar Cayce, and so did my minister, Ann Perrier. So they're wonderful people, and they host the after-death conference, too, in Arizona. When they do that, they put that on. So they're wonderful beings. So I got to be with her, and she told me my gifts were going to come, but I had to sit back and relax. And that's hard mm-hmm. when you're a single mom and working. I'm like, you know what? I never knew she was a psychic. I just knew that she was my pastor, and I loved her and loved her energy and just like whatever. It wasn't years later until I moved. And she said, you never knew that I was a psychic, did you? And I was like, no. Because she said I had books coming. Well, of course, I wrote a book. It's called It's Vegan and It Tastes Good. It was not the book she was talking about, of course. And I just said, I feel like three books are coming. And she said, you got that right. And she said, that's why it's the hardest, but you need to be still. Well, do you think I've listened to that?
Probably not. But when the time is right, I'm sure that it'll come through. I will say this about being a vegan chef. You're not the first vegan chef that I'm familiar with. And to anybody who is listening out there and they're thinking vegan, no animal products, ew, I beg to differ only because the good vegan chefs out there, the people who know how to cook without using any kind of an influx of animal products, they make food taste amazing. And they have to because otherwise nobody's going to want to eat it. And vegan food is, when it's well-prepared, it's absolutely out of this world. And I, you know, Ceci, I don't know if you know this about me. I'm a holistic nutritionist also. And so, you know, I know how to make food taste good. And, you know, you've studied so many different things, and obviously you would like to have a chance to sort of like, you know, suck it all in right now. It's like, you know, turn into a sponge and suck every single thing in. I'm very similar, although I started doing this a little later. But yeah, I have no doubt that when you do end up writing a book, especially a vegan cookbook, if you haven't already, you did one already, right? Hello? Ceci, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Did you mute your phone?
yeah, I think so. Yes, I did.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, you basically wrote a vegan cookbook already, right?
Right. It's out.
Okay. So do you know, did your minister tell you what the topics were going to be for the other books that you were supposed to write?
Yeah. The things that I've been in my life, because most things that I've been through, most people would have committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of tragedies. Like I said, my childhood was not the best, but even
mm-hmm.
as a woman, I didn't harbor hate. And hate towards my mother, or anybody else that harmed me, and she thought that was amusing that I did that, but also all the things that I went through with my daughter and survived. And she said that was going to be a book, but also the ultimate book was going to come as all the things that I do. And I've been talking about this book, but I haven't found time. And I told her, I'll find time when I'm comfortable, when the money is flowing. And then it was like, no, it's not going to be that. It's going to be even sooner, because I know I could write those two books in my sleep probably. All the things I've been through, and probably be therapeutic for me to get rid of them. But the other book is the ultimate book that would show people like a little path of what I did, how to get to a center balance, especially with food, because my book is also vegan, but it's also vegan raw. And there is not a book out there like that. Usually it's vegan, and that's it, and it's cooked food, or it's raw, and there's no cooked food in it. And I decided, you know what, when I wrote the book, I want to be a pioneer. So that is also probably why I was drawn to Hawaii, to use all the natural sources, to be able to eat and live and breathe and do the community that eventually that's going to come from this. So that's what I told her when I got here. And I told her, I called her up and I said, Miss Ann, she says, hi. I said, I'm moving to Hawaii. And she says, okay. I do that. And she says, okay. She's like, well, do you have a place to stay? I said, no. She said, do you know where you're going to move? I said, no. I just know I'm going to go to Hawaii. And she says, oh, Hawaii is beautiful. Well, you know, you can move there and you can actually sleep on the beaches here. And I said, you can? She's like, yeah, you can do that. And I said, well, if that's what I have to do, that's what I have to do. That was in January this year. So I got my tickets, bought my tickets, and we came here February 23rd. No, I did not have to sleep on the beaches, me and my children. We stayed in a condo where I rented the condo for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks, and I found a house, or apartment, I should say, and that's where we live at now. So I'm getting acclimated to the area, but it was like, not like she said, that's who I am. I'm not going to walk in fear, and I have to let the fear go. As far as I'm concerned, all my family is my children. I do have a mother out there, but my mother is my mother, and I love her for where she is, but I can't let her in my innermost secret because it's destructive for me. And for some reason, I bring out what people fear the most about themselves, whether it's prejudice or anger, and I don't know why, but that's for them to bury, not for me to carry anymore. I can't be everybody's mother. I learned that too. So it was a lot to learn and digest. So I know these books, when they do come out, and I have a feeling they're going to be coming out within the next 2 years or so, and I want to get with the right person. I've had Balboa Press approach me. But, again, wonderful. To get in Balboa Press, I need a certain amount of money to be able to work with these publishers to get these books out. So
I'm sure that you will find a means to do it. Your story is very compelling, and I have no doubt that there's a lot of people who will be very interested in learning something about, in more detail, about some of your experiences. I do have a quick question. You said that you have two children. Tell me a little bit about your other child.
My son, he just turned 17. He's 6 feet and 240 pounds, and he's played football.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, my baby's always been very, very active, meaning that even as a child, he would go to football camp. And he would go to dance academy. During the morning, he would do dance academy. At the evening time, he would be in football camp. He's been doing this since he's been about 5. My son has an extreme amount of energy, and I didn't realize that he needs to be physical for his brain to really work. He's very smart. If he's not getting enough exercise, physical restraint, his brain, for some reason, he can sit in class and go, duh. But if he's doing a lot of physical exercises, I've had him on two football teams, Pop Warner and a local football team, high school and Pop Warner. He's a straight-A student. But if he's not getting being on those that time for some reason, that strenuous in exercise, he doesn't function very well. But other than that, now my son, when he was a baby, was diagnosed with chronic asthma.
Mm-hmm.
My son doesn't have asthma anymore. My son is, like I said, a very big boy, and basically he's the baby. and he does a lot of stuff, but he's very smart and very intelligent. But he's also, like his mama, he has a thing for people not getting justice, and he's a protector, and he's been like that all his life. A little girl, because of my daughter, she's very sensitive and very, at the time, very sensitive, and people would just pick on her because she was heavy. And a little girl pushed my daughter, who was about 7, off her bike. And she came in the house and she cried. I, you know, fixed her, and my son goes, "Well, what happened?" And she said, "A little girl pushed me off my bike." And my son, I'm thinking he's just going outside to play, went and pushed a girl off her bike. And it was like nothing, you know. He didn't care that he was only, you know, 5. He pushed her off the bike, and, you know, that was that. So he has this thing of justice of any, what we call the underdogs or people taking advantage of. You look at him and think, oh, well, you know, he's going to be, he can be with the popular kids, and they love him. He has a sparkling personality, very charming, but he knows how to use his charm to try to get around mommy, too, but not so well. But he's,
let me ask you something, Ceci. How many teenagers do you honestly know who don't try to push their mother's button?
I don't know. I don't know. I was hoping I would be an exception to the rule.
No, you're not. Every mother of a teenage child that I know has said the same exact thing. Teenagers, I think, are there to just sort of push buttons for their parents constantly. I used to tell my daughter all the time when kids were born, the reason why parents have children is so they could laugh at them. When they're little, it's easy to laugh because they do such funny things, and it makes us crack up. You know, you just laugh at them. And even when they're teenagers, they just do the darndest things. But
right.
I seriously think that when they become teenagers, one of the things they do, because we tend to laugh at some of the funny antics that they like to play on us, is they turn around and try to push our buttons. And that's their way of getting back at all of us.
Yes. I told my son, I can't wait till you have kids, you know, after you get the right woman and everything and you're happy. Oh, I so can't wait. I said, oh, wow. He's like, and my daughter said, remember what mom said, the mom's curse? And he was like, what do you mean the mom's curse? He said, you forgot about the mom's curse. She said, she's going to spoil the kids and send them back. All the things. I was like, oh, yes. I was like, I said, but I'm not going to give them sugar. I am just going to just show them that they can get a yes, and especially when they become teenagers. And then my daughter goes, no, I think when they become teenagers, they're going to be a lot different. I was like, oh, I know they are. I totally know they are. So we're learning, you know, we're learning as we go, and I'm loving my children's demeanor, especially my son. I mean, he's a challenge, but and if you're wrong, he's going to call you on your stuff. He's been doing that since he's been a baby.
Just out of curiosity, is your son a Capricorn?
No, my daughter's the Capricorn. My son is a Gemini.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Gemini, that makes sense. That's also similar to Justice. Makes a lot of sense.
Now that my daughter's older, my daughter is for justice, and she doesn't take anything lightly. Now she will bow to you. Now, when the doctors thought they had to deal with me, even here in Hawaii, they tried to send my daughter back to the mainland and told her that she could not be here. And my daughter said, it's one or two things. Either you're going to have to deal with me, or you're going to have to deal with my mother. And the last thing you want to know is you don't want to deal with my mother. That's all I'm going to say. So I made a couple phone calls, talked to the nurse, and the nurse was like, well, if anything does, we're going to kick her out and blah, 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 blah for dialysis. And I talked to the young lady, and I said, you know what? What is your supervisor name? She says, well, she's on vacation. I said, okay. Well, after I finish with your supervisor, I'm going to call your supervisor because there's always some So I said, I know it's proper protocol. So I'm letting you know that I'm reporting you. And I said, by the way, I said, did my daughter happen to tell you I used to be an LPN? And she said, no. I said, remember that next time you call yourself talking down to someone. And I said, and next time you talk to my daughter inappropriately, I said, I'm going to forget that you're a nurse, and I'm going to forget that, you know, there are laws that I don't break you in half. And she looked at me. I said, and you have a wonderful day. I said, Ceci, you need to calm down. I made a couple phone calls. And the woman's like, well, if she doesn't want to blah, 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 blah. The doctor had made a decision based on this woman's prejudice of my child. And my daughter wound up going to Waimea, another dialysis center. By the time I finished with the supervisor secretary and let her know all the people that I were going to call and how many numbers I had of the company and what I was planning to do with a lawyer, my daughter had a place at the hospital with no problem at all. And
well, that's
then he,
good.
My doctor wanted to know what was the problem. The thing is, she was very upfront. My mom is very assertive. My mom is not meek, and my mom tells me exactly the way it is, and my mom told her. Certain treatment, now that she's over 21, I can break it down to her a lot better, where they can't say, you don't know what you're talking about, and I'll start breaking it down medically, why she needs to do blah, 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 blah. And it'll take her a while, and then it'll kick in, and then she'll tell the nurse go like, well, how did you know? And she'll go meekly, oh, my mom said so. And they'll go, and they'll do what I said, and then she'll improve. So it's about listening, and that's what I'm trying to teach her. Listen to your body, because everybody's body talk, it tells you. If you're craving ice, you might be lacking in iron, or you're lacking in some kind of vitamins if you're craving certain things. It's just your body talks to you. There was a program out a long time ago called Body Talk, my husband before his passing took. And your body tells you, I need to eat this. I need this in my body. I need zinc. Your body turns. Your body lacks in vitamin. We got out of vitamin therapy. I don't know anybody that does vitamin therapy anymore. But that is a close guarded in a medical book history that our bodies are lacking vitamins in the medical journal. They've hidden it.
It is a chronic problem, and it's something that I help coach people with here, too, especially in my area as well. I help people with taking in enough supplements. One of the biggest problems is that there is very specific information about lack of vitamins and medical conditions that crop up, and instead of being willing to medicate, they have to be willing to look at the nutrition, and unfortunately, doctors are not trained in it, and I mean, it's something I've discussed on the show before. Before we go, because we are almost finished, we're almost out of time, Ceci. I just wanted to ask if you would be kind enough to give everyone your contact information, so if they're interested in calling you or in contacting you through the internet so that they can, would you please give that information?
Okay, what they can do is go to www.thefoodalchemist.us. That is thefoodalchemist.us. That is the Food Alchemist Network. Or they can call me at 480-253-9407. That number again is 480-253-9407. Or they can look me up on Facebook under Chef Ceci.9, and that's C-H-E-F Ceci. S-E-S-S-Y, or they can look up Chef Ceci Food Alchemist, and I have a like page they can like and message me there and put all their comments, and I'm there. Or they can find me on Blog Talk. If they put up Food Alchemist, Chef Ceci Food Alchemist, I have a radio station that I host other people on. I'm not on there a lot, but like I said, my daughter does fairy readings, and I have other people that do all kinds of nice little things. And we're still looking for hosts. So I'm going more into media TV. That's what I'm working on right now here locally, to be on the television and to do some DVDs. That's good what I'm doing. But
I want to thank you so much. Yeah, I want to thank you for coming, taking time out of your schedule. It sounds like you're a very, very busy lady. You're very interesting to talk to. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to come on to the show with us at Namaste Nutrition. Please do make a point of coming back, especially when you have your book out.
Oh, definitely. Definitely will. Thank you for inviting me, and I just really appreciated this. I really did. And now I'm up, and I'm doing a good thing. You're making me feel good. I don't usually get up this early. I love it. So now I can really start my day. So thank you so much, and it's been a great honor to speak to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chef Ceci. This is Namaste Nutrition with Claudia Spiri.
You know the bed feels warmer sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come on and back. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you fighter. What's up, keep it lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, 'cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, stronger. Just me, myself, and I. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed
and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.